Sister Courtney, Sister Bray, praise team, Brother Zach, that was so amazing. Amen. Oh, it is so good to be with you guys today. God is good. So our main group of scriptures, our main passage today is really just one verse. We're going to dissect this one verse. And you know what, man? I am so glad to be with you guys today. You know, God is so good. And just let's spend a little more time together and just grow in relationship with the Most High God. And let's just begin to see Him for who He really is. You know, He is so good. He's so amazing. And thank God that we get to spend time with Him and spend time with one another. Man, we're blessed people. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, Father, God, we love you. Tell them you love them this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to shake off those heavy bands. I want you to just rebuke and get rid of any discouragement or despair. I know, you know, Father's Day, it's a weird day for some people. I get it, you know. But we are here not just to honor our earthly fathers, and we're certainly told to do that. You know, we want to honor our mother and our father. But also, we are here today as Christian people to honor our Heavenly Father, the Most High God. Amen? And that's what we're here to do. And, you know, as we go through these crazy storms and all this ruckus and hubbub that was going on this morning, you know, God was with us, man. God is with us. Whatever storms we find ourselves in, if you're a blood-bought Christian, if you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, He is with you. He says, I will in no way cast you out. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So anyways, 1 John 3 and verse 1. That's our main verse. We're going to take this verse apart today, and we're going to soak it up. But we're talking about our Heavenly Father. 1 John 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. So that's our verse. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father God, that we are focusing on you this morning, Lord. That we're going to leave here refreshed and encouraged, Lord. Your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord some praise, church people. Amen. Do we belong to a good God?
Yes.
You know we do. You know we do. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. That's our first stopping place right there. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Well, let's investigate this love that our Heavenly Father has given to us. And sometimes we get things kind of messed up because we had a weird relationship with our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we get things a little messed up or a little weird, a little skewed because we had a weird relationship with our earthly father. Or we didn't know our earthly father. Or we didn't think he was the kind of father he should have been. Well, look, just push all that aside because you have a Heavenly Father that loves you with an undying love, and He is the best Father. He is the perfect Father. He is everything you need. So let's see what kind of love the Father has lavished us with or poured on us or what kind of love the Father has given us. I want you to look at Psalm 103 and verse 13, talking about the Father's love. Psalm 103 and verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Well, already, right out of the gates, we have this weird thing where, Paul, you're talking about this Heavenly Father that says he wants us to fear him. What kind of father is that? What kind of dad is that? See, this is the kind of father we got, okay? We need to not forget that we need to have reverence and respect for our Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? We need to have some respect for our Heavenly Father. That reverence, that is to go without saying. But if we are a Christian, we should respect and have reverence for our Father. Don't forget that our Heavenly Father is the creator of all things. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one that decided you would exist on this earth. He is the one that sent his son to die for you. He is the one that is going to bring correction into your life. And he says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't forget to have that reverence and respect for the Most High God, who is actually your Heavenly Father as well. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him or to those that belong to him. So let's look at this word compassion, or we can say it like this. Your God, your Heavenly Father, is a God of compassion or a father of compassion. Okay, I'm sorry if your dad wasn't the type of dad you expected to have or deserved to have or anything like that, but we're talking right now about our Heavenly Father. And he wants to bring healing, by the way. He wants to bring healing to those situations. But don't say, well, this is how my dad was, you know, this is how I was raised. And then that kind of blinds us to the goodness and the grandeur and the majesty and the love that our Heavenly Father has for us. And he says, let's just start all over, man, and check this out. I am a God. I am a Father of compassion. I am a God of compassion. So let's look at the word compassion real fast to be sympathetic. I like this description of compassion. Now listen to me. We're talking about your Heavenly Father. He is a God full of compassion. Okay, so look at this, talking about compassion. This is good. To recognize the suffering of others. It's a little definition of compassion. This is what the Lord has for you as his children. To recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. He sees your hurt. He sees what you're going through. He sees your sinful state that you're in. And he says, no, that won't do. He rushes to the scene and he brings healing. Isn't that wonderful? He takes compassion. And you see a little puppy stuck in a tree or in a storm drain or something. You walk by and you leave it. That's not really compassion. You know, that's not really compassion. You know, but if you do something, if you try and get the puppy out, that's compassion, right? Well, see, God doesn't just see. I know that was silly, but here we go. So, look, man, God doesn't just see what you're going through, but he says, I'm going to do something about it. Cindy Vine says, I see what you're going through, and I want to do something about it. He is a God of compassion. Can I get a witness? Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. All is well. What does that compassion look like? Because my God, my Father is compassionate. My Father is full of compassion. He sees the need and he acts on the need. He sees my suffering and he does something about it. Okay, what does that look like? Well, look, John 3:16 right here. We can't do no better than this. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Okay, that's a big picture of a big God. But not only does he love the world, but he loves us as individuals. He loves Courtney. He loves Dustin. He loves us with an undying love, okay? He's compassionate to each and every one of us. He's a big enough God, but he still wants to spend time with each and every one of us. Just like an earthly father loves to spend time with his children. God is that perfect father, and he says, I want to spend time with my kids. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's all of us, that he gave his only son. Well, there it is again, man. Okay, I'm finding all kinds of holes in your little sermon here, Paul. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. How in the world, on Father's Day, can you say that the Lord God is my Father if it says right here in the Bible that Jesus Christ is his only son? This speaks of Jesus Christ's uniqueness. Okay, he is that only begotten son. He is unique. He has the authority. He has the authority to save. Okay, let me say it like this. He is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ went to the cross in obedience to his Father because he loved us and he loved the Father. In obedience to the Father, Jesus Christ, the second man of the Trinity, went to the cross and he died and he rose from the dead. Okay? And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we get adopted into that family. So one day we will die. That's how this thing works. One day our hearts will stop beating. Okay? But see, here's the thing. Just like our big brother Jesus, okay, we're not going to stay dead. We're not going to stay. He's the firstborn of many brothers. Give the Lord some praise. So we're talking about our Father's love, our Father's compassion that he has for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. His only begotten Son, His unique Son, the Son with the authority and the ability to do what God the Father was going to ask Him to do. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's a beautiful picture about the best way I can say it, talking about God's compassion that He has for us. He saw the hurt. He saw the pain. He saw the torment. And He said, no, I'm going to do something about this. He had compassion on me and you. And He sent His Son. He sent our big brother to die for us so we can live forever. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. And so this compassionate God, this compassionate Father who sent His Son so our sins can be forgiven, which equals eternal life, which means no matter how hard it is down here, it's going to get a whole heck of a lot better. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to get a whole heck of a lot better. Yeah. That's good stuff, man. That's good news. You know? But you know what? It's not just about the other side of Jordan, but He wants us to have the abundant life now. God wants to take care of you now. He wants you to be optimistic now. He wants you to enjoy this life that you're in now. Okay, God takes care of us. Let me say that. God, your Father, takes care of you. If I was to go adopt some kid, you know what I mean? I go down to downtown and I sign a bunch of papers. The state is going to expect me to do some things for this child that I just adopted. Why? The state's going to expect me to clothe them, get them to school, feed them, all sorts of fancy things. Why? Why in the world would the state think that I need to do that? I've only met this kid like 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago. But now all of a sudden they expect me to feed him, clothe him, take him to school. If he's sick, take him to the hospital and all that. Well, the reason why is because I just signed over that I'm responsible for this child. I just said I will be responsible for his needs. When I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you have been adopted by God. You've been adopted by Him. He says, you are now my responsibility. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to shower you with the love and affection that you don't even deserve. But I put so much value into you. I love you so much that, listen, you made the right decision by accepting me. And I love you so much. I'm going to shower you with the affection that like nobody can. Can I get a witness? Yes. He takes care of you. Romans 8 and verse 32, he who did not spare his son, he who did not spare his own son. This is God the Father talking about what he did with Jesus Christ for us. Don't listen to me. Don't think that you're not loved. Don't think that you're not important to the Most High God, who the heavens are His throne and the earth is His footstool. You know, He's not too big for you. He loves you. He cares about you, and He cares about what you're going through. He takes care of me. He gives me what I need. Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us. Think about that. Think about how much you are loved, that God offered the most precious thing in all eternity, that Jesus Christ gave Himself. That's how much you are loved. That He gave His only Son, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So here's what we do. The next time you're kind of depressed or stressed out or thinking about how crazy everything is in your world, remember this, that you are loved by God. And this God, your Heavenly Father, who has compassion on you, so much compassion that He sent His Son to die for you so you can be forgiven. Grab a hold of that fact. Grab a hold of that fact right there, that God so loved the world. He gave His Son. That should mean something to us. That should mean something to us, that He gave His Son so that we could be forgiven. And if He did that, what else is He going to hold back from you? What was He? Is He? Okay, He is a good, good Father. Okay? And if we, as human fathers who are evil, you know, want to give good gifts to our kids, think about God, our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, who is absolutely perfect. And He says, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry. Trust in me. Don't worry. Trust in me. Do what you can do. But when you hit that roadblock, when it seems impossible, when it seems like something you can't reach, lean on me, trust in me, I am your Heavenly Father. He who did not spare His own Son, that's a big deal. He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's how loved you are. Let's go to the next slide. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? That's what we're talking about. We're trying to describe this love that God has given us that we can't understand. We can't fully begin to even, it's just impossible for us to grasp God's love for us. We don't have the capability to understand how much we are loved by God. Matthew 6 and verse 26. Let's go back to the previous slide. I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. Yeah, Matthew 6, 26. My God takes care of me.
Amen.
Matthew 6, 26. It's been a crazy time for me in my house and financially and all that, but God has been super, super good to me. I ain't missed a single thing. Look, does it look like I'm starving? Hey, can you tell I've been losing weight? I'm playing. I haven't been losing weight. Matthew said, good Lord. See, it's already started. Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. What about the birds of the air, preacher? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. The birds don't go and plant and farm and take what they have and store it up. Huh. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Is that true?
Yes.
That is totally true. God takes care of these animals. God takes. So the comparison is you versus an animal, okay? Versus a birdie or a bunny rabbit. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Talking about the animals. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at this. Are you not more value? Are you not of more value than they? Now, that's not the most popular thing in the world for someone to talk about, you know, right now. You know, animals are certainly precious, and we need to take care of animals. But God just said in his word, humans are more precious to God than animals. Humans are more precious to God than animals. And he says, if I take care of these animals, if I take care of the birds, the bees, the bunny rabbits, and the bullfrogs, don't you think I can take care of you? Don't you? That's, and he says, don't forget, I'm your heavenly Father, man. I am obliged. I am obligated. It is my pleasure to take care of my children. I love my children. I have compassion on my children. Now let's go to the next slide. So my God is full of compassion. He loves me. What does that love look like, church people? Oh, it's a beautiful thing where he saved my soul, where I get eternal life. That's awesome. We could stop right there where he forgave me of my sins, but it keeps going and going and going. He provides for me. He takes care of me, and he teaches me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That is a great attribute of an earthly father to sit down and instruct you. God bless those dads that teach their children a trade. God bless those fathers that sit down and say, hey, come over here. Let me show you. I got to work on the brakes on mom's car. Come over here and check this out. I know you want to watch Saturday cartoons, but come over here. This will help you out in the future. Thank God for dads like that. You know, thank God. And if you didn't have that, here's the deal, man. It's not too late because you have a heavenly father. You have a heavenly father that says, I will teach you. I will instruct you in my ways. I will instruct you in the things that you are going to need to live this life and to live a godly life, to be that person I need you to be. Okay, Psalm 32 and verse 8. This is a goodie. Look at your neighbor and say, this is a goodie. I agree. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you. This is God talking to me and you. This is God talking to Sister Davenport. This is God talking to Brother Skip. This is God talking to all of us. For God so loved the world, that's a big statement, but he loves us as individuals and he cares about us as individuals. You are precious to him. Like anybody in here that has more than one child, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You love them all, man. You love them all, okay? And they're all precious in their own ways. They are all unique and you love them all. Okay, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. This is our Heavenly Father saying, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to instruct you. There's some things I need you to know because you are now my son. You are now my son. You are now my daughter. And so we have to unlearn some things that the world and your old master has taught you. We have to unlearn some of the things that you were just kind of born with in your sinful nature. But we're going to work on this. I'm going to instruct you and teach you in the way to go. Amen. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. You ever just need advice? You ever just need a, just, I don't know what to do next. The word of God has the answer to whatever you're going through. I promise you. I'm saying if you call everybody you know and they're just tied up or they don't answer or whatever, and I hate that certainly happens sometimes, man, but if it ever happens, man, look, you need to run. You need to run into the man. Calm down. Everybody just say, calm down, dude. It's okay. Thank you, Sister Dana. Thank you so much. I feel better. It's like, you snowball and an avalanche down the hill. You're picking up speed. You're picking up momentums. And sometimes you get tongue-tied. Yeah, so now you know what's going on up here. Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. You need advice? You need counsel? Get into the word of God. I will counsel you. Now look at this. This is golden right here. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will counsel you. Now look at what your Heavenly Father does. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Your Heavenly Father watches over you. He watches over you. There's a tornado coming, and my kids are over here, and my house is over here, and I'm in the church right now. My God is watching over me. I'm not saying everything's going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. I'm just saying God is watching over you. We all know that things don't always go the way we think they should go or want them to go, but our God is watching over us, and He knows what He's doing. He is my Father. Often, our fathers would do things when we were young that we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't understand why they were doing them. And as we get older, they kind of make more sense and we understand. We think, oh, maybe the old man wasn't so bad after all. That kind of makes sense now. Our Heavenly Father does things often, doesn't He, that we don't get, we don't understand. Like, man, I don't get it. I don't get it. But He's our Heavenly Father. And as painful as this sounds to some of us, and bless God, I don't mean any offense, God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. I can't begin to explain a lot of stuff, but God knows what He's doing. Yeah. Give the Lord some praise, because you know it's true. This Heavenly Father, full of compassion, who loves me so much, He sent His Son to die for me so my sins can be forgiven. And He provides for me, and He watches out for me, and He teaches me and instructs me and gives me counsel. Like any loving father, He brings discipline into my life. He brings correction into my life. Now, what kind of dad would your old man be if he didn't bring correction into your life, right? And see, the thing about earthly fathers is, well, I know in my life, when I choose to bring correction into one of my children's paths or into one of my children's lives, there's a lot of things that factor in on that, because I'm not a perfect father. I'm not perfect. And there's a lot of things that can, okay, so if I'm really, really tired, I might be more strict or stern or severe with my punishment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I'm having a great day, I might be a little silent. I might be a little more compassionate, a little tender than I should be when this could be a teaching moment, That's how we are as earthly parents. We're not perfect. There's a lot of things that weigh in on us. The kid really embarrassed me and I lost it. But see, here's our Heavenly Father, and He knows what is right for us. He knows what is exactly right for us, So, and it's His method. It's in the furnace of affliction where God really makes His man. This is where God really sharpens His children up. So Proverbs 3:11-12, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Oh, it doesn't feel good. No more than when your earthly parents, brought correction into your life. Man, that didn't feel good. Still to this day, when my mom moves fast and moves around, I jump back about 3 feet. I'm playing. I'm getting better. We're dealing with it. We're working on it. I love you, Mom. He disciplines us. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not. My mama didn't mess around, man. She took care of it. She didn't dig on whining. She didn't dig on complaining. She didn't dig on being lazy. She didn't like any of that stuff, man. You ain't got nothing to complain about. You don't need. Don't tell me you ain't got nothing to do. Yeah. And you know what? I got a couple miles on me now, and I thank God for that. You know? My parents instilled in me a work ethic, man. You know? So when my body's hurting, I get up and do what I got to do. Because that's what my earthly parents taught me. You know? Amen. I'm just trying to give a little honor where honor is due. I had a heck of a mom, a heck of a dad. Proverbs 3:11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. Verse 12, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. See, God delights in his children, and he says, because I love you and I delight in you, I am going to allow you to be put in between some rock and some hard places. I am going to bring some correction into your life to form you and mold you into that son or that daughter that I want you to be, that I desire for you to be. He brings correction into our life because he loves us. What kind of parent would you be if you would not bring correction to your children? Think about it. This is our Heavenly Father who is perfect. And this is one of my absolute favorite things about God. Because listen to me, we have to have that reverence and that respect for our God, who is also our Father. We have to have that reverence and respect for our God, who is also our Father. But this is what the Creator of heaven and earth says about Brother Dustin. This is what he says about Brother Clayton and Sister Laura. Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Who's at the throne of grace? Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Let us with confidence. It's like when I'm in the church office after church, and my little girl will just barge in there and act like she owns the place. Why is she doing that? Because she knows her dad's in there, man. She knows it's all right. It ain't all right, but she knows it's all right. You know? Okay, so check this out, man. So, you know the deal, man. Just now we're having praise and worship. My phone rings. Anybody else calls, even what's going on right now. And my phone rings, and I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm trying to get my focus on God. I'm trying to reach, I'm just trying to enjoy being in the presence of the Lord and spending my time with Him. So, I'm usually not going to answer the phone if you call during church. I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? But I look down at my phone, it's my daughter. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, why did I take it? Because it was a crazy situation. But the main reason why I took it is my daughter, who wasn't here, was calling me. She boldly said, I need to talk to my dad. She knows, well, he's doing the thing, man. He's preaching or he's at church. So, but she said boldly, I'm going to go talk to my dad. I need to talk to him. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. He says, boldly, you are my kid. Don't think that you're not important. Don't think that I don't have time for you just because I'm the Creator of heaven and earth, and for God so loved the world. Yes, all that is true. But you are precious to me. You are my little one. And when you come knocking, there I am. You don't even have to knock. Just come through the door. You know? Yeah. Let us then with confidence. See, that's the wonderful privilege of Him being our Heavenly Father. That's the wonderful privilege of Him being my Heavenly Father. Think about this. Let us then with confidence, miracle, draw near to the throne of grace. Well, I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm just a little old man. I'm just a young lady. I'm just, man, you are precious to the Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are His little one. You are His precious little one. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Why? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So look, let that sink in this morning. Because I know this is a weird day for a lot of people. You know, your earthly father's no longer with you. I get it. Maybe the old man, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it could be a kind of weird day today. But see, this is your heavenly father. Now listen up. He says, come to me. Come to me. I want to hang out with you. And I want, see, he says, I got compassion on you. And I want to be actively involved in your pain and your trials and your storms. I want to bring healing to this. But you got to run to me. Okay? You draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace. That's what it's all about, guys. Mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Mercy, you know the deal, man. Mercy, me not getting what I deserve. Jesus Christ paid for my penalty. You know, and that grace, those wonderful blessings that I didn't earn, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. God's good. Your Heavenly Father's good. Give the Lord some praise. Let's go to the next slide. First John 3:1. Our main verse. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. That's what we've been talking about, trying to paint a little picture of what this love looks like. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So, that's the thing. Happy Father's Day. We are not just called. It's not just something that we say. You know, I imagine the Christian world to an outsider can seem kind of weird and strange. You know, when you're in the Circle K buying a delicious Polar Pop and you see another Christian brother from your church buying a delicious Debbie Pie or something like that, you know, and then here's a non-Christian person watching this exchange between us like, hey, Brother Wally, hey, Brother Paul. And imagine that's a little weird, your brother. Talking about, oh, hey, Sister Rachel, what it is, showbiz. Yeah, I imagine that would be a little weird. But why do we do that? Why is it brother? Why is it sister? Is that just something we say? It's not supposed to be something we say. See, we are adopted into God's family. Therefore, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are connected through our Father. Amen. We are connected through our blood. Just like me and my earthly sister and my earthly brothers are connected by blood, we are connected by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Whoop dog. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. See, and so we are. John is saying, it ain't just something we say. It's not just some like special handshake because you're in the club. Well, you are. We are children of God. You've been adopted into his family. Look at John 1:12. Okay, you really are his kid. I don't feel that way. That's how he sees you. That's how he sees you. That's my kid. That's my kid. Okay? All right. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, Jesus Christ, he gave the right to become children of God. We like to talk about rights. A lot of people, that's my right. Don't take my rights. Okay, whatever. Okay, but this is your right as a blood-bought Christian. You have the right. You are a child of God. He is your heavenly Father. Okay? That's good news, right?
Yep. Amen.
So, Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is the Son of God. And see, the Jews, the religious elite of Israel, not all Jews, but the religious elite of Israel, most of them could not stand Jesus Christ, and they hated when he would say that God is his Father. They could not stand it when he would say, God is my Father. And he didn't just say, God is my Father. See, the Israelites, to the Jewish people, they did see God as their Father, but not on like a personal level. It might be a little bit how we'd say, some people say, George Washington is the father of America. Well, not really, no. God is the father of America, okay? But see, they would see God as the father of the Hebrew people, for God so loved the world, like a big thing, not an intimate, personal thing. And so Jesus Christ says, God is my father, but he doesn't even just say, God is my father. He says, Abba, Father. He says, Daddy, Father. See, Abba is like a more intimate, go ahead and answer it. Who is it, Mama?
It's my brother. Hello.
See, that's all right, right?
It's my brother.
Okay, all right. Hey, man, it's no big deal, man. We're doing church. Okay, but see, what were we talking about? He said, Abba, Father, like a daddy father, like a more intimate statement than just God is our father. He was saying, Abba, Father. Matter of fact, when Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, not my will, but your will be done, he was crying out saying, Abba, Father. Yeah. Daddy, Father. Right. Daddy, Father. It's like my little kids need something, man, and she's scared or something. She's like, Daddy, Daddy. Buddy, my ears pick up, you know, certain way she says it. I know she's serious, and it might be silly to me, but she cares about it, you know. So it's Daddy. Jesus said, he is my daddy. Jesus was saying, God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, is my daddy. And the religious elite hated that, man. They could not stand that. Matter of fact, they said, you done messed up, man. You can't say that. Okay, so anyways, John 5 and verse 18, a little bit about, they considered what Jesus Christ was doing as blasphemy. And they're like, we got to get rid of this guy. This guy's nutty. He's cuckoo. He's going around. We can't have him spreading this disease everywhere, saying that he is equal with God the Father. John 5 and verse 18, just a little background. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father. See what a big deal this is? See what a big deal this was to the Israelite people? Don't go around calling God your father. He's the king, man. He's the creator. He's the boss. But he ain't your daddy, all right? We need to keep that reverence for who we're talking about. Okay. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. He's a firstborn son. Right? Okay. But Jesus takes it to a whole nother level. He's not just going around preaching, I am God's son. He says, guess what? Guess what? You can be his child. You can be his child. In the religious elite, we're getting even more riled up. What are you talking about? Well, he's talking about the gospel. He's talking about Josh. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Boom, you are now a child of the Most High God. He is now your Father. Okay? Matthew 6, verse 9. When the disciples say, teach us how to pray. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so the prayer that we would call the Lord's Prayer, it starts like this, talking about not just Jesus Christ is God's Son, but when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, you are grafted, you are adopted into the family of God. You are now God's child. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Not just pray Jesus Christ, Father who is in heaven. Not just the creator of heaven and earth, but my Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am a son of the Most High God as well through Jesus Christ. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, there's that reverence. Hallowed be thy name. So you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're a son of God. And see, we have access, direct access to God. And he wants us to have that abundant life here. And what really gets me psyched up, man, and gets me happy is all of the above, everything we talked about. But listen, man, this will get some of you guys fired up because every bit of this is true. Every bit of this is true. You know, if you're in the family, okay, you're in the family. And see, guess what? That means, 1 Peter 1:4, that means we are joint heirs with Christ. That means that Jesus Christ did all the hard work and we got a huge inheritance waiting for us. What does that look like? What you talking about? You talking about money? What you talking about? Cattle on 1,000? Man, I don't really know. It's going to be amazing. I mean, we can go verse by verse and pick out all kinds of good things that are waiting for you. But check this out. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance because you are in the family, because God is your father. To an inheritance that is imperishable. How about them apples, man? How about that?
Yeah.
An inheritance. You ever know somebody that got a big chunk of money and they have all these big goals and things they're going to do? Man, you better be down for, man, I'm taking you all the way to the top, man. It's going to be, you know, all this big talk and all that. Man, they go through that money so fast, I ain't knocking anybody. You know, that's just how it rolls a lot of times, man.
Yeah.
It just goes right through it, you know. But see, God says, this inheritance, it ain't going to dwindle, bro. It ain't going nowhere. An inheritance that is imperishable, it ain't going to rot. Some people hide a bunch of money in the ground and go back and look for it, and the worms done got through it. All right, whatever, tell the truth, shame it all. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You got a huge inheritance to be excited about. God's our Father, man. Happy Father's Day, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you so much for being our wonderful Father and healing our hurts and blessing us and caring for us and being there for us. Thank you for guiding and leading and directing us and giving us peace. Let us be obedient children. Let us model ourselves after you, Lord. Let us follow your template. Let us be what you've called us to be. Thank you for meeting our needs and your will being done. Thank you for protecting us this day during this mighty storm. This mighty storm was nothing. Is nothing compared to the one true God, our Heavenly Father. And we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So listen, guys, like I said earlier, no Bible time tonight at 5, but we are going to have Bible study Wednesday. Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m. Read your bulletin. Bring in your baby bottle piggy banks. If you haven't already done it, bring it next Sunday. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. I love you. Hug your neck. Shake your hand. Talk to some people. Talk to some people you ain't talked to in a while.
Be careful, guys.
Be careful. Hey, I do that all the time, right?
Yes.
Amen.